Forgive me for that. He, undoubtedly, some of you knew him, some of you probably worked with him, and yet I realize that especially for some of our younger colleagues, you may not have known him. And for all of us, it's worth taking just a moment to reflect on some of his accomplishments and recount his past. He was born in Brooklyn, and actually his first language was Hebrew. His father was a Yiddishist. He studied for the rabbinate in Cincinnati, received his ordination at HUC in 1946. He was particularly athletic, which actually had dramatic impact on his life, because one summer when he was athletic director at Camp Achva, he met a beautiful young counselor, head counselor, named Florence, and they wed in 1943. Together, moving to Los Angeles in the 50s, he took a position as the founding dean of a fledgling new campus here called HUCJIR. It was a hybrid position where he was also the regional director of something called the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, the precursor to what we now call the URJ. Along the way, he and his wife, Florence, were blessed with two, what turned out to be beautiful boys, Michael and it's very funny, Joel. In the living room of the Zeldin home, 5 years after he had left his position at Temple Emmanuel in Beverly Hills, which he had taken after his work at HUC, the greatest accomplishment of his professional career would be born. Together with 35 families, the Zeldins created something called Stephen S. Wise Temple. It was 1964, and it would ultimately become probably the largest congregation of any Reformed congregation, indeed perhaps any congregation in the world. The temple created a nursery school and the first synagogue-based grandparenting center. And in 1978, he started the Stephen S. Wise Temple Day School. The day school became the largest Reformed day school in North America. Of course, he didn't do any of this alone. Alongside him for some 40 years were three remarkable partners, Rabbi Eli Hersher, Cantor Nathan Lamb, and Matukah Benjamin, the director of education. But it was Zeldin who was the dreamer, and his dreams really never stopped. That's why, at the youthful age of 70, he took over what was then known as the Golda Meir High School and ultimately created the Milken Community High School, which became the largest full-day Jewish high school in the United States. So at some point between all the schools, over 2,000 students were receiving their full-time Jewish and secular education. His dedication was extraordinary. The LA Times wrote, he had difficulty saying no to his members and friends, and they in turn could not say no to him. He was a builder, a leader, and the conscience of his community. As a matter of fact, David Epstein, who's here with his wife Sheila, was sharing with me this morning that somebody once asked Rabbi Zeldin, just told me this morning, that among all the different areas of the aspects of the rabbinate, which were you most successful in? And apparently he answered real estate, so some truth to that. All of these things you might read in an obituary or perhaps in Wikipedia. So I thought I would share some personal anecdotes that reflect a little bit on his character and a bit of his demeanor. Give you a sense of who this man was. First, a thought about his temperament. One evening, I had just returned to Los Angeles from 13 years in New York City where I had been working. And Beverly and I noticed that Rabbi Zeldin was in the back. We were in the backyard of a home with Rabbi Zeldin. And he was surrounded by members, new and old members of the congregation. The evening was about to come to an end, and yet he was in seemingly no rush to leave. I would learn, by the way, that this was a pattern. So alongside the remaining guests, Beverly and I chatted with him for a while. And then we walked to the car together, and my wife made a simple but important observation. She said to me that one of the reasons for his success was that he was a genuinely pleasant person. And I have to tell you, in all the years that I worked with him, and even in the years in his latter life, when he had stopped working full-time at least, I do not remember him ever being in anything but a pleasant mood. A thought about his feelings for Israel. You cannot reflect on Rabbi Isaiah Zeldin without talking about Israel. He was outspoken in his love, his affection, and his support for the Jewish state. I do not remember, this is quite literally an extended conversation that he and I had in person or on the phone where we did not speak about Israel. He was clear from the pulpit and clear in those conversations about his affection. And while he might not have agreed with any particular position of any given prime minister, whoever it was, he stood firm in his mission toward Israel. And I suspect that's why we've over the years had a number of prime ministers grace our bima. A few thoughts about his sermons. If you ask congregants about the way he spoke, almost all will tell you that his sermons were thoughtful, they were timely, they were humorous. And then they'll add two characteristics. The first is that he almost always created some sort of acronym so that you'd remember his words. For example, if his topic were, say, marriage, he might begin by saying, "My sermon this evening is about marriage." And there are four parts to this sermon, and they will remind you of the word tale, T-A-L-E. And then he'll speak about each of them. T, make sure you have time for your spouse. A, make sure you arrange surprises for them. L, make sure you laugh together. And E, make sure you enjoy fine wine. T-A-L-E. Times, arrange surprises, laugh, and enjoy wine. The other thing people will tell you about his sermons is he never spoke with notes. And by the way, that's true. He never spoke with notes, whether it was a Friday night, Shabbat morning, or on high holidays. And this reminds me of a story. He and his wife, Alecha Shalom, used to move ultimately out here to Palm Desert. And when I tell you he didn't retire, he really didn't. He started a congregation here. There were groups of people who were getting together on Shabbat. And he said, if you'll all coalesce together, I'll lead the service. And sure enough, he had 300, maybe 400 people at the Del Webb Resort about 3 miles away from here. So occasionally he would bring in a guest speaker. And one time he asked me to come on a Friday night. So I arrived here on a Friday night, and on the bima, on the dais, it was a gymnasium essentially, were Mrs. Zeldin, Beverly, Rabbi Zeldin, and myself. And it's time to go up and give the sermon, and as I'm about to stand up and reach into my pocket for my notes, he says to me, "David, don't use any notes." I put my notes back in my pocket. I walked up to the bima. Now, this was a time you can imagine I wanted to give the greatest sermon I had ever given in my life. And all of us at times have given a sermon which we feel, you know, okay, went well. And every once in a while you give a sermon and you think you just, forgive the term, hit a home run, knocked it out of the ballpark. Well, I walked up there and I gave the best sermon of my life. This was one of those times where I was just blessed. I was on and I knew it. And I walked and I sat back down, and Mrs. Zeldin, who was three over, taps Rabbi Zeldin, shy, on his knee, and she said, she had a very high-pitched voice. She said, "Shy, that was really good. That was as good as you." I bit the inside of my lips. I tried not to say anything, not to move. And I just looked forward. Now, what Rabbi Zeldin never knew, and if he's listening above, he's going to hear for the first time, I made a big change and decided to give a sermon I had given 25 times before. He never knew it at the time. He thought I was speaking extemporaneously, but I confess to that. I thought about working with him as we come to the end. He encouraged those who worked with him to follow their passions. If you were a rabbi and you had an idea for a program and it was financially reasonable, he would encourage you to go for it. And consequently, Stephen Wise Temple became a laboratory, a place where you could try almost anything. And if you were driven and you wanted to work hard, he would encourage you. He celebrated the success of others. Never for a moment did you get a hint of insecurity. And finally, a thought about the way he worked with lay leadership. If you speak with presidents who served with him, and I have spoken with many of them over the years, without exception, they told me that as much as they respected him at the beginning of their presidency, by the end of those 2 years, they left with even greater respect. And that speaks volumes. I always felt I had a special relationship with him, and yet I suspect many who worked with Shai, indeed many congregants, felt they had a special relationship with him. And of course, that too is a gift. He was genuine. He was the real deal. A few years ago, I asked him, if someone had told you in 1964 that from these original 35 families, and by the way, the promise at that time was to limit the congregation to 250 families. I said to him, if I had told you that it would have become this beautiful and extraordinarily active temple and schools, would you have believed them? And he turned to me with his endearing smile and he said, David, every time I drive up the hill to the entrance of the temple, I pinch myself. And you know what? I fully believed him. It's always a little bit humbling to speak words about the departed. After all, you have limited minutes and you want to capture their spirit. And you add to that, speaking in front of colleagues, that's humbling. And frankly, speaking about a man who was legendary is a little daunting. But I have to tell you, every day that I drive up Cassiano Drive, the hill leading up to Stephen Wise Temple, and I look around, I'm reminded of what he created. Not only the physical temple and schools, but the many people whose lives were touched, their children, their grandchildren. And for that, my colleagues, our congregants, and we as a people remain eternally grateful. And every once in a while, I too pinch myself for the privilege I have of working in such an extraordinary place. And for that, he has my everlasting gratitude. May his memory be a blessing, and may God cradle the soul of Isaiah Zeldin in a loving embrace forever. With his memory, alongside the memory of your loved ones, I invite you to rise for the mourner's Kaddish, page 334.